ushers if they will secure the doors until after the Lord's Prayer. Amen. 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 How many love the Lord here this morning? And come on, let's put your hands together for our youth, for their directors and musicians and the parents, too. We want to give our parents a hand for that's right, because they can't get here and they can't stay on Sundays without the parents. So we thank them as well for being on board and helping to grow our and strengthen our children's ministry here and children's choir. Amen. If they don't get it done here and we don't put them on stage here, we don't want them on stage doing something else later on. Amen. Amen. It starts here in the house of worship and praise. And so the Bible says, my Bible says, that God is to be praised cheerfully. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of the Lord's holy and prosperous word. Amen. We ask right now if you would stand for the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Good morning, Mount Hebron. Good morning, Mount Hebron. Smile, we got a lot to be thankful for. We got up this morning and we're here to praise the Lord. I stand before you to give you announcements for the week. As you see, November 2019 calendar, we're at the very end. So down here at the last edge of the calendar, starting with the 24th, the 25th, we have the trustee meeting. On the 26th is Bible study. And on the 27th, of course, we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer on the line. Daily devotions this week. As you can see, we have daily devotions every day coming into our inbox and our email. If you need daily devotions sent to you, and you probably do, definitely give your email address to the church clerk. This Tuesday night, prayer is at 6:30 and Bible class is at 7 p.m. Come out, pray, study. We have a good time. We laugh, we joke, but it's all in fun and we're all learning about the Word of God. And if you can't make Wednesday night, Tuesday night, or if you do make it, still, you got Wednesday morning. We got prayer on the line. We got prayer on the line. This country is in need of prayer. This state is in need of prayer. This city is in need of prayer. Your neighborhoods and communities are in need of prayer. We are in need of prayer. So 6 o'clock in the morning, take time out to get on the prayer line. You dial in at 712-770-4856, and the access code is 690-568-pound. Our upcoming events, we already been doing a lot. There's more to come. The next thing on our list of things to do is December 7th, 2019. We have Christmas with the Keiths, and ordinarily she'd be here to tell you that you come and have a great time, but at some time during that day, you're going to have to go ahead and go home. And then also on December 21st, we have our community Christmas party. That's usually 2 hours of our time on a Saturday where we allow our community to come in and we open our doors, give snacks, and allow the kids to play, and also give them a lesson in what Christmas really means through our faith. We want to thank everybody that came out on yesterday to support our Thanksgiving basket giveaway. We definitely do need your assistance and your time and your efforts for all the events that we have here at Mount Hebron. Retreat 2020, it'll be here before you know it. It'll be held on June 24th through the 27th in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It's the same place we were at last year, and it was a really nice place. The fees are the same, $350 per adult, $275 for teens 12 through 18, and $250 for youth 8 through 11. You can start making your payments today if you haven't already. We got the best layaway plan that you've ever seen. Thanksgiving mission. I'm sorry, we did that already because we gave baskets on yesterday. So, again, we want to thank you guys for all of your contributions, whether it was in giving a contribution or whether it was in service. We want to thank you all for helping. There are 5 ways to give. We coming up. We got 5 ways. So you can give at church during offering, come around as we usually do. You can give online with our website. You can text 77977, message Mount Hebron MBC. You can go through your cell phone app. It's called PushPay. You can also do snail mail, which is the U.S. mail, and mail your payments to our church. Don't use snail mail. And that's our app. If you have not gotten our app and downloaded, download the app. We got stuff on there. It's interesting. It's quick. It's convenient. It's probably better than you trying to give somebody a link and remember how to write the link down and all that stuff. You can send people to our app. And the way they get it is go on Google Play or iTunes, and it is Mount Hebron Baptist CH for Chicago. We are in need of pop. Is y'all drinking all the pop up? Bring some pop in, because we need to support our scholarship students. We are having a lot of kids go to college, which is awesome, 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 and a blessing. We'll probably have a lot more kids going in the year coming, so we need you guys to keep bringing pop so that we can keep contributing to give them stipends while they're at school. Bible trivia. Hopefully you guys been looking at your Bible trivia in your pamphlets for church. Your Bible trivia for today says, playing with fire. The first one says, what king of Babylon burned Jerusalem? And the answer is Nebuchadnezzar. Number two says, what Canaanite city was burned down by the men of Dan? And that answer is Layla. Number three says, what Israelite had his goods burned after he had been stoned to death? And that is Achan. So you have all those questions, you have all your answers, and you have the passage of Bible in which you can go and get a good read about playing with fire. At MountHebron.org. Are you receiving emails? I mean, that's the probably the quickest way, the fastest way that we can let you know what's going on within our church at any given time. So if you have not given your email address, please give your email address to the church clerk so that you can stay in the know. And at this time, I just wanted to see if we had any visitors in the house. No visitors in the house? Well, we got to do better and invite some people out. One thing I do want to leave you with is something that I read, and hopefully it'll bless you for not just today, but for the rest of your life. And the quote is, there isn't enough room in your mind for both worry and faith. You must decide which one will live there. I was just giving you your announcements, and I'll turn it back over to the pulpit.
Amen, amen. We thank Sister Chanel for those announcements, and we want you to be mindful of all the events that are going on this week and the weeks to come. But to piggyback, and I know Minister Christian's probably going to bring it up again, but yesterday we definitely were blessing people in our community and families here at Mount Hebron. So we want to thank all those, again, who participated, who came out to do a work, if you showed up and just was a presence, and those who definitely took on the responsibility of evangelizing to our community. Amen. Amen. We ask right now if you would stand for our morning hymn, number 335, Jesus Loves Me. Thank you.
Minister Bennett, I don't have his projection, but I would like to believe that me asking you to give some praise to our Lord and Savior shouldn't be too much to ask. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is the least that we can do today, okay? We made it to the Lord's house this morning. That's little enough to give praise.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sort of in my right mind, okay? And I got a portion of my health, okay?
Talking to Mike.
My family is doing okay. And so for all those things, I feel it's right that we give praise.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Listen, let's just put our hands together and give God praise in this house. Amen. I got to be honest with you. I am blown away by stuff like that. That just does my heart a world of good. And to have somebody as quiet and as unassuming as Deacon Mullins, of all people, to get up talking about praise ye the Lord. I mean, come on, y'all. Let's bless God in here. Amen, 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 amen. And let's give God another round of applause for our young people. Amen. That's a good place to praise and thank God. Amen. We say it all the time, but it is the absolute truth. They could be anywhere else doing anything else, but God has blessed them and encouraged them to be here, and we are so grateful. Amen. And let me say this. If you have difficulty with anything that they're not doing right or could do better, I encourage you to work with them. anything where you think you may see a problem, be an answer. Amen? Work with Sister Tony. Work with whomever, Sister Vicky, with our youth. If you see something where you think they might be able to improve, work with them. Amen? Amen. A couple of things before we go into our service of giving. We do want to formally and with a grateful spirit. Listen, Mount Hebron, yesterday was a blessing. Yesterday did not come without its own difficulties, but we were blessed. Amen. And I thank God, and I'm cautious not to start saying names and that kind of stuff. Of course, you leave somebody out or miss somebody or something like that. But for everybody that came out, everybody that contributed, everybody that provided or invested their time, talent, and treasure, whatever place you found yourself in that effort on yesterday, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And God bless you. And give yourselves a round of applause, not so much for your own efforts, but for yielding yourself to the work of God in this place on yesterday. Amen. Thank all of y'all. Amen. And we want to continue to keep our pastor and first lady and Minister Bennett and Sister Georgette in our prayers as they travel and get a chance to see some of the handiwork of God all over the world. Amen. 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 It is a blessing to be able to do that. And so now we're at the portion of our service where we will be able to give. And of course, we have so many different ways to give, as it was declared by our announcer today. Amen. Amen. Her first time doing announcements, and she did such a good job. Amen. I know. All right. She practiced, right? Yeah, practice. Amen. So as we prepare to give, we ask for our officers and ushers to come forward and that you would prepare your hearts to give. We usually pray before we give. And so if you have your gift, we ask that you would get it in your right hand. Raise it nice and high. I'm ready. You ready? We ready? All right. Okay. All right. Amen. Get your gifts. Raise them high. If you're using that Push Pay app, raise your phone. Amen. Right. Blessed Father, again, we thank you, praise you, lift you up and magnify you. God, we glorify you that all for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask as we prepare to give gifts into your kingdom and to sow into your storehouse, that you will make us mindful of what we give and how we give, the heart with which we give. Father God, that everything that we do would be pleasing in your sight. Bless those that have the heart to give. Bless those that have the heart but not the resources. Bless those that have the resources but not the heart. Father God, we ask that you would bless in every single way that you see necessary and that you would press upon us, Father God, to give all that we can because you gave all that you had that we might be able to stand in this place and worship you in every aspect of our lives where we can worship you. And we thank you for it. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We ask now for our officers and ushers to come forward and that you would obey their instructions. Amen. We want to be mindful that on fourth Sunday, which is today, that our end tables, the trays on the end tables are for our youth. This helps to pay for youth outings, youth events, and things of that nature. And so those trays that will be on the end of each of those tables represent our youth on today. We also have the retreat basket, if that interests you as well. Mother McLean will be holding that. That helps to pay for our retreat and help those that cannot afford to pay or cover the cost on their own to have some assistance with that. So we ask that you would be mindful of those things and give accordingly. Amen? Amen.
shall we pray. Good morning, Lord God, our Father, who art in heaven. Thank you for these offerings, for this gift. Thank you. And bless those who had the gift. But consider those who had it. And on the next time, give them those resources that they might need. For those who don't know what tithing is about, give them the understanding. It's in the Word. Bless those who have the charge for the resources. Give them the understanding and the knowledge to have offerings in what would be from you. We love you, sir. We can't do without you. On this day, we pray.
Amen. Amen. As soon as the the officers and deacons have done due diligence, we'll move right on to altar call.
Altar call. Altar call.
So we ask right now if you would start making your way to the altar, sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving. We've already given our offerings, but we can still offer up love and thanksgiving to the Father who provides for us all. We need prayer because I know where God has brought me from and a mighty long way, and if we were to sing that old hymn, you don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory, and it was only through faith, prayer, trusting and leaning and depending on God. So we have some special seats here for those who need special prayer. So let us go into prayer. If you're coming, okay, we'll wait. We got a few more to say, I want a seat. I want to come a little bit higher. Amen. Amen. Keep calling those names, starting with your own, and don't leave yourself out. Because I need thee every hour. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let all the earth keep silent. As we come before you, we come standing, sitting, bowing, kneeling, but Lord, we are here. We are here today only by your grace, only by your mercy, and only because you thought enough of us to say, get up. Have one more day. You called us, Lord. You called us out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and then you called our names this morning, each and every one of us who are standing here, regardless of age and anything. You said, get up, and we did. And for this, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, right now for the activity of our limbs. And I slid that Maya in there, Freudian slip, because it is important that I understand and know all of my limbs, Father. And so some of us are paining in our legs and our feet and our arms and our hands and our backs and our hips. And those are our limbs, Lord. And we ask right now that you will restore those cells to a place where we can move and we have mobility and we can bend and sit and walk without difficulty. Oh, I know these young people don't understand it right now, Lord. They're young, their bones and their muscles are limber, and they can do a double somersault and a Chinese split. But Lord, if they just live just a little bit longer, if they just live just a little bit longer, they'll have two precious friends. One will be Ben and the other one will be Gay. So, Lord, we ask right now that while they still have the activities of their limbs, that they're able to see the needs of the elders in this church, Lord, that they offer to carry a purse or a bag or help them to the car and help them usher in, hold a door, Lord, because this is where they get their training of brotherly love and taking care. The younger shall take care of the elder. And we teach that not only in the homes, Lord, but I think it's important. Not only it's just like being an athlete. I don't care how well you throw a ball or run over a hurdle. You got to have respect. So it doesn't matter if you're an A student here at Mount Hebrew or everywhere else, Lord. We're teaching these children how to have respect for themselves first, and then for the elders, and then for each other. We instill in them that one another, love ye one another. And so, Lord, we rest on the teachings of the Bible and of Jesus right now on this day of our youth. And it calls to mind in Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. That's because we do things in our youth that we think about and we learn and we grow and we look back on it when we get older, Lord. Help them to see that the things that they're doing now, that they're planted in the house and of God and in the Bible. So teach them to not despise these teachings later on, whereby they will be able to help somebody else along the way. And, oh, Father God, we ask right now that you would continue to watch over our pastor, First Lady, and Minister Bennett and his wife, Georgette, and all who are traveling, Lord, right now. And you bring them back from their destination safely home. And then we pray for this mayhem in our streets. We heard the testimonies this morning of how close it can be and how close this violence and this insanity is getting closer and closer to our own homes and our personal space and our children. Father, we ask right now that you be a fence and an umbrella and a shepherd as you shepherd our children to and from school and back home again. Lord, keep them safe and keep them away from any hurt, harm, and danger in the form of gummy bears that being passed out at school that's laced with narcotics and taking our kids out, Lord. Teach them to say no to any foreign substances that others may offer them at their schools. So we want to keep them safe. We want to keep them pure. We want to keep them whole. And we can only do this with your assurance and your guidance. And we know that you watch over our children. We pray for our seniors, our sick, and our shut-in, and all those names that were called here this morning, here at the altar, and those that will continue to pray for those who are absent from the body but present in our hearts. We pray right now, Lord, ask a special pouring out of anointing over the man of God who will bring the word today, the bread of life, to us this afternoon, this morning. We pray right now, Lord, that the word that you've already given him, Lord, it marinates, it's seasoned, and it's ready and tenderized and ready for us this day. We pray right now for his strength, Lord. We pray for my brother's wisdom and execution and delivery of that which you have given him already. We pray this in all prayers in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let every heart here say amen. Amen. Say, I really love the Lord. Oh, come on, say, I really love the Lord. Tell that person you're hugging and standing next to.
Thank you.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Y'all clap louder for the Jackson 5. Come on. Let's give these kids a round of applause. And Sister Tony and all the parents and everyone who worked with these children. Amen. You know, I wanted to say earlier when they were singing Kumbaya, they were sounding so good. How many have heard of the South African Children's Choir of Soweto? It brought that to mind, that Kumbaya. Those kids really, I said, now, come on now. We got a South African Soweto choir right here at Mount Hebron. And it begins with the children. See, we don't want to acknowledge other cultures, and their children are singing the songs that we wrote over here in America. And so I'm just so proud of the movement. So we'll move this right along. I won't prolong this, but I wanted to have the opportunity to bring up my brother, Minister Otis C. Christian. We don't often get an opportunity to speak on each other as associates and how we are so proud of how God has grown us. He was planted here in this church, and I'm glad it's on Youth Sunday, because I want our youth who are not listening and who are talking to each other and maybe on their phones or whatever, but I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. He's homegrown. He started in this church at some of your ages and even younger. And he was brought up in this church under the guise and the hand and the direction and the leadership of the deacons, some that have passed on, some that are still here and not in attendance, some church members, Mother Timms, Deacon Timms, Deacon Johnson. I could just go on and on. And what we try to do here at Mount Hebron is to set an example for our youth. Here's the example right here. Here's the example right here, young people. Because, and I say it again, if we here in the body of Christ in the church where your mom and dad and cousins and everybody bring you every Sunday, if we don't stand up and be an example for our youth, where will they find a better example than one who was brought and raised and born and planted and grew in this church to be able to move from the pew to the pulpit and become a testament of what God can do? I would like to see some of these young people look at Minister Christian, who was born and bred and raised here, as a possibility of what God is calling you all to do and be. So if we don't applaud our youth while you're young now, we want to be able to look forward and say some very same things about you that I'm so proud to say. I met Minister Christian 17 years ago when I came here, 19, going on 20 now. And I can say he ushered me in as a friend, as a co-laborer. And as a brother, of course, we fight and fall out, and we've had our issues. But as brother and family, we soon get back together again. But I am so proud of his growth, delivery, and his preparation for what God is continually calling him to do. And I am going to take my seat, but I want you to stand and give our very own Minister Otis, who you all grew in this church, a round of applause. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, you are. Amen. It is a blessing to receive an introduction like that. When she started saying those names, it almost brought me to tears, because there are so many people that as I grew up in this church affected my life in such amazing ways, and I still am mindful of the lessons that they taught me. I can still hear their voice. And I am still very grateful for the people that were strong enough and feared God enough not to let the young people of this church just go any direction we thought we wanted to go in. And so I am. I am very grateful for the Deacon Timms, the Mother Timms, for Deacon Dinwiddie and for Deacon Andrew Bryant, for Mother McLean, for all of these men and women of God, for Reverend Wordlaw, who was so interested in youth that he went so far as to make sure that we had a bus. We called it the Lima Bean, this big green bus to take us everywhere he wanted us to go and to make sure we got to every youth event, every progressive event, and things of that nature. For the Hendrixes who would pile us up in their cars and things of that nature, just make sure that we were able to go where we needed to go to be and ultimately become who God had called us to be. I can't thank God enough for what has been done in my life in this place. And amen. Just thank God for that. Amen. Now I got to get myself together. Yeah. Shall we bow and be in prayer? Blessed Father, again, how we thank you and praise you for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly. And Father God, we pray that you understand just how serious we are about it. But God, I pray that you would also make us to know and understand that this is your work and it is in your hands. I could do nothing in my shabby and unremarkable self, but I know that you have started a good work in me and that you shall continue it. And so, Father, we pray that you would make evident this treasure that you have placed in earthen vessels, that we may all see, know, and understand that the excellency of the power is of you, our God, and not us. Hide me behind the cross even now. God, I give you permission to use me in whatever way you see fit. God, you have my permission to use me at your discretion. Have your own way. I've done all that I can do. And God, I pray right now that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we thank you, God, for it in advance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We do want to thank and praise God for the opportunity to stand before you today. We thank Pastor Keith, who always allows or presents us these opportunities to stand before you at this hour. Again, we don't take it lightly. We are very well aware that not many associate ministers get these opportunities. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. And as we go forward, we just want to continue to thank God for the privilege of preaching. Amen. And to be able to practice. And before I move on, I just have to thank God for our young people. And please just give them a quick round of applause. You know, it does my heart a world of good, because I can remember Early Bird Choir and stuff like that, and all of us young kids being up at old dark 30 in the morning, having to be here and singing this choir stand. We thought that was punishment. Amen. Especially depending on how your Saturday night went, to have to get up and be here at Early Bird service. But I thank God for our young people, and thank God for those that are working with them to get them where they need to be. If you have your Bibles, amen. We pray that you would turn with us to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Genesis, the 32nd chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Genesis 32:22. And if you have a problem finding the book of Genesis, I got two words for you: Sunday school. Amen. It is literally the first book in the Bible. If you hit Exodus or anything else, you have gone way too far. Amen. Genesis 32:22. I'll be reading out of the New International Translation, but please follow along whatever translation you have. Amen. The text reads as follows. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. I'd like to put a tag on this text and take as a subject from which to preach before I let go. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Before I let go. Before I let go. As it is obvious, the song that we're referencing, Before I Let Go, was written and recorded by the incomparable Frankie Beverly in Mays. And as Frankie Beverly recalls it, while he was writing the song, he was in a place of decision-making, tough decision-making. And as he penned the renowned song that we're referencing today, he had a specific person in mind. And recounting the lyrics, can you imagine yourself in that place of decision-making with this song playing in the background? You made me happy. This you can bet. Stood right beside me, and I won't forget. I really love you. You should know. But I want to make sure I'm right before I let go. We had our good times. That's not the same. We're hurting each other, and girl, it's a shame. I won't be foolish, girl, but I've got to know. I want to make sure I'm right before I let go. And for most of us, we can remember exactly kind of where we were and who was on our mind when we heard this particular song and these particular lyrics. And of course, the Beyoncé version now is playing all over the world and has brought this song back. Amen. But we can remember, if we're honest enough, even in our saved selves, to think about what was on our minds or who was on our minds when we heard this song and the decisions that had to be made, and depending on what decisions we made, depending on what side of the before I let go we landed on, amen? And that equation would determine whether we would end up either really, really happy or really, really sad. And some of us had to decide whether to hang in there or let go. And again, depending on which side of that equation we landed on, some of us are really glad we hung in there, and some of us are really glad we let that joker go. And as it is, we find ourselves sometimes in love and in relationship, we find ourselves in that same place in our relationship with Christ. That from time to time, we find ourselves in this position, this mindset, this place where we have to make a decision as to whether we're going to hang in there with Christ, hang in there with God, or let go. And let's be honest, some of us don't like to hear that, but it's the truth, that we find ourselves in situations and places of difficulty where we wonder whether holding on to God is what we ought to do. And when we first came to Jesus, we had all of the warm, fuzzy, freshly saved feelings of our sins being forgiven and being able to sing all four stanzas of Amazing Grace and rattling off a few scriptures that we had learned in new members class, only to find as we continued in this Christian journey that walking this walk with Jesus was a whole heck of a lot harder than we thought it would be. And I just got to ask the question and poll the congregation. Anybody here thought like I thought early in our newfound Christendom configuration, that you thought like I thought, that coming to Jesus or having a come to Jesus moment would show enough change some of the things in our lives that was tearing our lives apart? How many of us thought that leaving the life in the streets would, once we got saved, would be easier to do? That letting go of the gang life, or letting go of the drug life, or letting go of the things that held us bound would be easier to do once we made our confession to Christ? How many of us thought that the baby mama drama or the baby daddy blues would ease up once we told them that we were saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, only to end up having to be in child support court anyway, or only to have some joker standing outside your job talking about, I just want to see my son, with no Pampers, no cereal, no milk, no pull-ups, no diapers, no shoes, no nothing. How many of us thought that having a relationship with Christ would somehow make us exempt from the foolishness and the issues that came along with life? In our naivety, we believed that just believing in Jesus would somehow be enough. And we've all come to find out that that is not at all the case. We just thought that Jesus would fix all of these raggedy, ratchet things going on in our lives. And when we realized that our salvation didn't exempt us from the foolishness of life, when we found out that the saved life is still a life that suffers, when we found that just because we said yes to Jesus, that does not mean that the enemy was going to back up off of us. But when we found out that just because we had given our lives to Christ, that we thought that our life of struggle was over, before we found out that things would keep coming, that issues would keep coming, that things would still happen, that we would still fail, that we would still have struggle, that we would still have moments where we thought we just would not have these kinds of issues anymore. And instead of letting go of the foolishness, instead of turning away from the wickedness, instead of turning away from the things that cause these problems in our lives, most of us, if not all of us, at some point begin to think about turning away from Christ instead. If we can keep it real just a little while longer, how many of us found ourselves facing difficulty in issues so serious that we thought it would take us out? And we started praying to the Jesus that Big Mama told us about. Yeah, you know, the Jesus that she would always say, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, only to find out that whatever God's timing was, it did not line up with the timeline of our lives. And it felt like it was starting to cost us. Started costing us money, started costing us hope, started costing us resources, started costing us time, and even started costing us peace of mind. How many of us started praying before and after a medical test only to find out that the diagnosis was still cancer? How many of us have prayed and asked God to deliver that loved one, that child, that brother, that sister out of the gang life and out of the drug game only to have to bury them sometime later or end up putting money on their books for the next 8 to 12 years? How many of us have prayed and asked God, don't take my mama, don't take my daddy, now don't take my loved one, father, don't take the person that I care for and I need out of this life only to have to bury them anyway? How many of us have had to show up at a job day in and day out, depressed and suffering, wondering if these people appreciate our efforts, wondering if we're going to be able to make it from one paycheck to the other, wondering what God is doing in this place and wondering why we're still there, or showing up to a job and giving them everything we got only for them to let us go like we were nothing? How many of us have prayed over that marriage, over that relationship, asking God to just change them or just change us in relationship to them, only to end up in divorce court anyway? If we're willing to keep it a buck, we can all agree that at times God has done in our lives just exactly what we find he's done in Jacob's life in this text, that sometimes the things that God is doing in our lives just do not make sense. And we want to know, Lord, you need to show me something before I let go. And I recognize that going through this life while trying to walk the right path can make the issues of life seem and feel and stretch us just that much harder. And if we're honest, some of us have gotten to that place where we're ready to just give up. We're ready to just let go. But I'm here today with some encouragement that can be gleaned from the life of Brother Jacob and hopefully encourage you as I've encouraged myself to reconsider all the ways that God is capable of handling our storms, frustrations, traumas, trials, and difficulties before you, before I, before any of us let go of our hope in Christ. And if you don't mind, I'd like to take a moment to put this text in its proper context so that eventually we can shout correctly. If I can tell you Jacob's story a little bit about him, we'll start first with his name. Jacob's name literally means trickster, schemer, liar, backbiter. He's being called every day of his life by a name that diminishes him. See, this is why we gotta be careful what we name our kids. Amen. We gotta be careful what we call our children. We got to be careful not to name our children Tangeray and Shatavaka and all this other foolishness and Nyquil and all kinds of stuff that seem like it comes out of our medicine cabinets. We got to be mindful of what we call our children. And here is Jacob's name, meaning trickster, schemer, liar, backstabber, deceiver. And he's called this name every day of his life. And it fits. Because in the early part of Jacob's life, that's exactly what he was. A schemer, a trickster, a backstabber, a betrayer. Jacob lived a life early in his life that put him in a position to, in our opinion and in our sight, deserve every bad thing that ever happened to him. Jacob's history with his brother Esau is well known. He tricked his brother Esau into giving up his birthright. And as if that wasn't enough, he colluded with his mama to trick his daddy into making sure that he kept it. And Jacob's dilemma doesn't stop there. He falls in love with a woman and goes to her father and asks if he can have her. The father tricks him into taking on the one that wasn't so pretty. He ends up with her and he still wants the other one. So he says to the dad, okay, well, listen, you tricked me into taking the ugly one. Now let me work for the pretty one so that I can have both of them and have what I want. And so he ends up working for a total of about 14 years to end up with what he wants. And he ends up tricking his uncle, their father, into giving him cattle and land that he didn't even deserve. And here we find Jacob in this situation, this space now, where his brother Esau, who made him a promise that the next time I catch you in the streets, I'm busting your head. And Esau meant every word that he said. So here Jacob is on the run. He's trying to escape all of the issues of his life. He's trying to escape all of the things that he's done, all of the things that he has fulfilled in his name. And here he finds himself in this place where his brother is finally catching up with him, that the issues that Jacob has started, the things that he has sown in his life are finally about to become manifest, and he starts praying. He starts trying to figure out what he can do to get God to do something different than what's about to happen. Isn't it interesting that whenever we find ourselves in real trouble, we start praying? God ain't heard from us, and I don't know when. But the second it get dark, the second it get rough, we sound like them old deacons back in the day. Here I am, Lord, your humble servant, knee bent and body bowed before thy throne of grace, asking you to intervene and intercede. We start talking about big words and all kinds of stuff. But here Jacob is in this place where he's about to get what he deserves. And he sends his people away. He sends his family away. He starts trying to figure this thing out. And here he is in the dark by himself, alone. And out of nowhere, God picks a fight with Jacob. You ever wonder why God would pick a fight with you? You ever wonder or feel like God is picking on you specifically? That for whatever reason, God has decided he gonna do some messed up stuff in your life just because he can. Anybody ever been there where you start looking at the things that are going on in your life and you look toward heaven and you ask God, hey, what you doing? Why this? Why me? Why now? Anybody ever wonder just what in the world is going on in heaven where God would allow some of the stuff that we've endured to happen in our lives? I can tell you that I've been there. I've been there. And just like you, just like me, and just like Jacob, we find ourselves looking toward heaven and starting asking God some real tough questions. And when we don't get the answer we think we should, we start questioning whether or not we should hang on to God at all. And from this lesson in Jacob's life, we're going to pull a few points, and then we're going to go home. The first point is this, and it's something that we need to be mindful of. As bad as this thing is that is happening to Jacob, and as bad as Jacob had done things in his life, the truth of the matter is Jacob, like us, didn't get all that he deserved. Let that sink in. Jacob, just like us, didn't get all that he deserved. Come here. Jacob's life story is riddled with drama, foolishness, deception, lies, schemes, skullduggery, lust, ego, pride, irresponsibility, and death threats. And that's just in the first two chapters. And yet here he is, having found himself in conflict with God and man, wrestling against God, and God decides to give Jacob a limp instead of taking Jacob's life. Come closer. How many of us know that God has caught us at odd hours doing all kinds of odd stuff, and instead of taking us out, gave us a subtle reminder that we ought to just get ourselves together? I knew it was going to get quiet there. It's okay. I drove myself here today, so I'm all right. Y'all missed y'all chance to shout, so I'm going to try you again. How many of us know that had God taken us out when he could have, or if God had punished us like we deserved, or put us in our little business out there like we've seen him do other people, that some of us wouldn't even be able to step foot in church? Some of us would already be dead and sleeping in our graves. Some of us would be crazy out of our minds had God decided to give us everything that we deserve. You want to know why you ought to hold on to the Lord a little while longer? You want to know why you need to make sure that you're right before you let go? Look no further than the grace and mercy that the Almighty continued to work in your life in spite of you. Is there anybody here that knows that God has been merciful, that God has been kind, and that while you were messing up every way he could, and while we were messing our lives up in every way that we could find, God was preparing just enough pain and just enough discomfort to bring us to ourselves, that we wouldn't have to die in our sins, but be saved by his grace and mercy to fulfill his will for our lives? Sister, girl, brother, man, before you let go of God and before you let go of his Christ, you had better consider that he never let you go in spite of you, that he never gave up on you. He never turned you over to the world without his guidance and without his grace at work in your life, and he never allowed you to endure all that you deserve. Had God given me everything that I deserved, I wouldn't be here right now. And I'm so glad that he decided to spare me, that he decided to be merciful, that he decided instead to be kind, that he decided instead to hold me together until I got myself together. And that's a word for somebody here, because you may be trying to figure out how to get yourself together. Let me help you. You can't. And if you're waiting to get yourself together to come to Christ, stop. Just come to Christ. Just come to God just like you are. He's not intimidated by anything that you've done. He's not intimidated by any failure you've had. Whatever you are and wherever you are, bring it to God just like it is. And trust that he'll do with it what nobody else can. I bless God's name for not giving me all that I deserved. Second point is that Jacob didn't know what he needed, but he knew that whatever he needed, he could only get it from God. I'm going to repeat that. I know some of us went to public school, so we're a little slow. Jacob didn't know what he needed, but he knew that whatever he needed, he could only get it from God. Write this down so you can tweet it correctly. You may not know what you need from God, but you can trust that whatever you need, God's got it. In Jacob's case, it was a name change. In your case, it could be a new job, a new bae or a new boo. It could be a new or fresh start in life, a better health report, a clearer sense of purpose. Whatever it is that you think you need, even if you don't have a clue as to what it is you need exactly, I can promise you this, that God's got it. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. You and I have to trust that whatever it is that God gives us is the answer to our prayers, even if it doesn't look like anything we prayed for. You and I have to trust that whatever it is that God gives us, whatever it is that God provides us, is the answer to our prayers, even if it doesn't look like anything we prayed for. Check out the text. Jacob was running from a murderous brother, a brother whom he had deceived and hurt. This brother promised him on sight, "I'm messing you up." Jacob knew that Esau was capable of doing him that kind of harm. And here he is having to deal with this. He starts to pray, and God's answer to his prayer was to fight him. That ain't what I prayed for. That's not what I was looking for. I didn't ask for a fight. I asked for deliverance. I didn't ask for another conflict. I asked you for your help. I didn't ask you for another reason for me to have problems and difficulty. I asked you to deliver me. But God went so far as to not only fight him, but you think that at least while you're fighting him, that you bless him some kind of other way, but no. God instead decides to change his name. What kind of blessing is that? I'm scared to death. My brother's gonna kill me, and I'm fighting an angel or some type of entity that I don't know, and you change my name? God, what are you doing? But here's why the name change for Jacob is important. Remember, his name, by definition, means trickster, schemer, liar. It means that he has been called these things all of his life, and he's acted out this name. So God decides to give Jacob a fresh start, a new name, a new thing that he will be known by that will now affect his future and what he does and what he believes about himself going forward. Sometimes the answer to your prayer is not what you prayed for, but it is exactly what God knows you needed. And in this case, and in most cases, we have to understand that the answer to the prayer is not always just about us. Jacob's name was changed to Israel as an indicator for those who would come after him of the covenant that God was making through him for them. So his name change wasn't exactly what he asked for, but it was exactly what God knew he needed. And sometimes, beloved, we have to look at the fact that the answer to our prayers may not be what we asked for, but it is exactly what God knows we needed. He may not bless you with a brand new Mercedes when he knows that you can only afford a Buick. He may not bless you with a 3-story house when he knows you can only afford an apartment. He will bless you with shelter, even if it's not exactly what you asked for. He may not bless you with a new boo or a new bae when you haven't gotten over the old boo or the old bae. So just be mindful that the answer may not be what you asked for, but it is what God knows is best for you. Third point, God decided to bless Jacob, but God didn't owe Jacob anything. And just like Jacob, just like us, God decides to bless us, but he doesn't owe us anything. Sometimes, beloved, we get in this space where we think God is supposed to do something for us. And we develop or walk in a sense of entitlement. Like just because we come to church a few Sundays out of the year, or because we're nice to nasty people on general Christian principle, that somehow demands that God does something for us, or more specifically do for us just exactly what we want God to do for us, and it doesn't go the way that we want it. And when it doesn't go the way that we want it, we decide that we're just going to give up on God because God didn't do what we wanted him to do, not realizing that God don't owe us nothing. Anybody that's got kids knows this. You've dealt with this concept, right? Our kids think we owe them something. Let me tell you something. I don't owe you nothing. Everything that is provided for our children, we do because we love them, not because we owe them a thing. God doesn't owe you anything. My brother, my sister, let me help you understand that you better hold on to God no matter how bad you think you got it, because even if he never gives you just exactly what you wanted, you can trust that he'll supply all you need, and that when you are able to reconcile that God doesn't owe you anything because he's already given you everything, it'll trigger a response in you that ought to make you grateful for all he's done already. I'm going to say it again. Let me help you understand that you had better hold on to God no matter how bad you think you got it. Because even if he never gives you just exactly what you wanted, you can trust that he'll supply all you need. And that when you are able to reconcile that God doesn't owe you anything because he's already given you everything, it'll trigger a response in you that ought to make you grateful for all he's done already. God doesn't owe us anything. And when you really think about it, there's no other decision you can make, because let's be honest. Who can handle the madness that's subject to happen in our lives like God can? Who can lift us up from our lowest point like God has? Who can hold us together when we would have otherwise fallen apart like God can? I don't know about you, but the more I think about it, the less I have to think about. I can't let go of God or of his Christ. I have to echo our elders who said that I can't doubt him. I know too much about him. And when I look back over my life and I review the resume and the history that God has had in my life, I recognize that he doesn't owe me a doggone thing, and everything that he has done for me already is more than enough. And I just can't let him go. And maybe that's where you're struggling. Maybe that's where you've come kind of to the end of your issue. But if I can, one more time, and then I'm going to let you go. I just want to encourage you, before you let go, that when your tears have run all night long and you feel like giving up, before you let go, look at the Bible. Look at the Word of God, where he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you can't seem to find the strength to keep going. Before you give up, before you give in, before you let go, the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not feel faint. When you feel like you don't know what to do to fix your situation, when you feel like you don't fit in or you don't know what's next, when you find out that friends are fake and enemies are real, when Boo or Bay says bye-bye, before you give up, before you give in, before you let go, know that the Bible says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring you to an expected purpose and prosperous end. When burdens are heavy and it seems too much to carry on your own, before you give up, my brother, my sister, before you give in, before you let go, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. You have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, tempted at all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. Christ held on to a cross. Christ wouldn't let go of a crown of thorns on his head. Christ held on with the bitterness and the weight of separation from his Father on his body. Christ wouldn't let go with false witnesses rising up against him, betrayal in his own camp, denial by those who promised that they would always be there. So before you let go, think back on what has brought you to where you are. Think back on the ways that he has made, the doors that he has opened. Think back on all the ways that he's brought you up from where you were. And hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't let go of God's hand. Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Everybody ought to hold to God's unchanging hand. Boy, that was a sermon and a half. Let's give Minister Christian another round of applause and bless him for that word. Amen. Is there one? Yeah. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Is there one? You know, that's the hand you want to hold on to. That's like that hand when you're 3 and 5 and 7 and 10 years old that your mother holds on to while you're crossing the street and you know you're safe. That's the same thing with God. But this lesson here today with Jacob, and I like the way Minister Christian phrased that, God fought with Jacob, and he made Jacob wrestle for the blessing. And so there's a blessing in being a part of the fellowship in the body of Christ. You might not see it or believe it, but you can not only hold on to God's hand, and he'll hold your hand, but there are many other hands that you'll be able to touch. So we just thank God for that inspiration, for that message that encourages us, and those of us who are in Christ, we're going to have those nights. We're going to have those trials and tribulations. But are you willing to stay in the fight? When God fights you on that mountain, will you let go or will you stay? Wait for the change and be blessed. We see there are none. But we have done what God has called us to do. And before I dismiss, I'm going to give Minister Christian an opportunity to catch his breath. And then I'm going to bring him up and we'll have benediction. And remember, we will have services here Tuesday for Bible study, Wednesday morning prayer service. And we will be here Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, 7 a.m. for 1 hour to come and give God more thanks and more thanks for how he has kept and blessed us from one Thanksgiving to the next. And we want to keep those who are still in grief and in memory over the loss of their loved ones during these holidays. Amen. God bless you. Minister Christian.
Amen. We thank God again for the opportunity to speak a word, and we pray that it has been a life-giving word. We pray that God continues to bless, cover, keep, and guide. And as we prepare to dismiss from this place, but never from God's presence, we ask or we pray that God would allow us to encourage someone else with the word that we have heard here on today. Father God, again, how we bless you and thank you and praise you and lift you up. How we magnify you, O God, for all that you've done, doing, and will do. Father God, we pray that we are encouraged to hold on just a little while longer, to understand that life happens, but we have a God who has seen every aspect of our lives before we saw it, and that you have already prepared a way, that you have already prepared a victory, that you have already done a thing in our lives that we couldn't even begin to imagine or think. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Let every heart say amen. 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 Again, go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you.
Come on, Jacob. Come on, Jacob.